would never say that.
That's right. We must realize that unforgiveness is just as bad as what they've done to us. So we have a tape on unforgiveness, Dead End Street. If you want to listen to more about unforgiveness, we must make sure that we have forgiven in every area.
Well, you know, Barbara, when there's unforgiveness in a heart, that distorts our ability to hear God's voice correctly. And it also negates faith.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to step into this, folks, this is a faith walk all the way through Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, it's a faith walk.
Yes.
Depending on how much of the revelation of God they had at that point in history.
Yes.
Well, now here we are after the New Testament. We have a great revelation on faith, but we also have great revelation on don't be into bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be into anger and unforgiveness.
For instance, after David had been anointed king by Samuel, there was many years before he actually gained the throne, where King Saul was chasing after him to kill him. His intent was to kill this young guy, David, who was going to take the throne away, because by then Saul knew that David had been anointed king.
You mean just because he threw a javelin at him and wanted to pin him against the wall? You take that as some indication?
And I want to take in this situation where one day, as Saul with his great army had chased David and his 400 men into the wilderness, that Saul had gone into a cave to relieve himself. They didn't have bathrooms and restrooms like we do today. He went to relieve himself, and David and his men were hiding in there, and they were so close to Saul that they tore off an end of his robe he was wearing while he was sitting there relieving himself. And when he came out, David called across the valley then after Saul had left, "King Saul, I have nothing against you. Why are you trying to do this to me?" And King Saul becomes very double-minded. "Oh, my good man, David, and I have nothing. I have no aught against you either." But David could have killed this king in that cave. He had probably every right to, according to what Saul had done to him. And yet he told his men, "I will not touch God's anointed." And there was forgiveness in David's heart, even though this man was coming against him. So that forgiveness has got to be very evident. It sure was in David's life.
Well, you know, as David kept a pure heart before the Lord,
mm-hmm.
God could protect him.
That's right.
And you're going to share some examples of how David cried out to God and told God what he wanted God to do to his enemies, but he was going to let God handle it.
That's
now, this is a very important part of this teaching. You need to let God handle it.
That's
he
right.
needs to be your defense. Your shield and protector, as the word would say. So listen carefully as we give you some of the ways of God here. And God, you know, was angry with the children of Israel because they didn't learn his ways.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't find out what makes you mad. What do you want us to do? What makes you glad? They didn't learn his ways.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as you're around a person, if you respect that person, you're going to learn their ways. For example, you might find out that they really like butterflies. Well, then you might look for some stationery or a wall plaque or something. In other words, you want to know their ways. You know, what brings delight to their heart. We should be looking for the same thing with the Lord God. And David certainly, as Scripture says, was a man after God's own heart.
That's right. And you have said many times, and people know this, that when somebody comes against us, those of us who love the Lord, who are believers in Jesus Christ, they aren't coming against us. They're coming against the Most High God. And David recognized this, and he knew this, that when somebody did something against him, and it says here in one of these verses, Psalm 7:6, it says, "Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, lift up thyself against the rage of my adversaries, and arouse thyself for me." David knew that he had righteousness and integrity, and so he could call upon the Most High God to come in his righteousness and avenge him.
Now, part of that saying to God, arouse yourself, at one part of the Scripture, David is saying, get up off your throne and help me. Don't you see I'm in trouble here?
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things we need to remember, Barb, and you're starting to bring that out, people may say, you know, I just can't stand you. I just hate you. They might even say something real strong. I hate your guts.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't stand it. When I see you, you make me sick.
I want you dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll say things like that. And they might even curse you out in the name of the Lord and all that kind of stuff. And I've been in work situations like that. But I want to tell you need to keep this real straight. They are not so angry with you as they are the God you represent.
That's right.
And the spirit that motivates them hates the spirit that you represent.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to keep your keep your balance and keep your focus. This is really, don't take it personal. This, I mean, you're getting into it because of who you represent and what kingdom you're in. Remember, you're in the kingdom of light.
That's right. And so here in Psalm 7, David is saying, come against my adversaries, O Lord. Arise, O God. And then he says an interesting thing here, Darren. Vindicate me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and my integrity that is in me. O let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish your righteousness. And we say here, when we do judge a person, and we're going to get into that later in this message, that we say, I judge you in righteousness. And that's exactly what David was saying here. Lord, judge according to righteousness. Let your righteousness be established. And he goes on in the Psalms, a lot of times, there is nothing reliable in what they say, Lord. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God. And, you know, let those be turned back and humiliated who devise evil against me. Let the net which he hid catch himself. You know, let that thing which he planned for to be my demise be his demise. David has this thing really well put together. He knows exactly how God's character is, and he knows how the enemy reacts, and he knows himself what will make him be cleared of all of this that's coming against him.
Now, in the New Testament sense, we need to receive our righteousness, our right standing before God by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to know that Jesus paid the bill for us. He became sin that we might become righteous. And when you're righteous, you can stand before the Lord with these four things, or without these four things, or with this understanding, without a sense of guilt, condemnation, fear, or inferiority. If you really look at David there, he is not experiencing any of those because he knows his righteous standing before the Father,
right.
So he can negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we need to point this out, that when you're praying to God in a situation like this, you're talking to a judge.
Mm.
He's a loving, providing
Praise
Heavenly
God.
Father, but he is also a righteous judge, and he will do what he declares honest and fair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in Psalm 35 here, he's saying, do not let them rejoice over me, and he's talking about his enemies. Let those be ashamed and humiliated altogether who rejoice at my distress. Let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication. So now he's turning it around and he's saying, oh God, when you do vindicate me, I'm going to rejoice and praise you. And let them say continually, the Lord be magnified who delights in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall declare thy righteousness and thy praise all the day long. So he knows exactly that when he calls upon God, God will do the work, and then he praises him. What a wonderful, wonderful formula for our lives here today.
Now, I need to bring this out, because we have people come to our meetings, write us letters, call us. In fact, just the other night, we had a woman with a horrendous problem. I mean, social services had taken her kids, and the courts were coming down on her head.
So sad.
And I had to say to her, listen, you need to go to the Most High Supreme Court. You need to appeal your case to the Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
You need to appeal your case in righteousness and get a ruling from the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of these earthbound courts are of a lesser jurisdiction. We need to remember that. Now, we're talking about authority here, and we're talking about jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
But some people say, well, the county court said, da-da-da, or the state court said, or the federal court said, or the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, I'm an American to the core, but I'm going to tell you, I'm more Christian than I am American.
Mm-hmm.
And my citizenship really is not here. It's in heaven. And that heavenly courtroom has the authority to rule and change the hearts of judges. And I've seen it on my behalf in the courtroom, in court, when things were coming down on my head. But we went away and prayed, and God turned the hearts of people. And the thing that came down when the gavel came down in the earthbound courts, things were changed in my favor. And folks, you need to get that straight. We need to realize that the Most High God, and when it says in Mark 10:27, what's impossible with men is possible with God, for all things are possible with God, it means exactly what it says.
That's right. The other night you were talking about this woman whose children had been taken from her. She was going through a fear loop while you were talking to her, and you had to actually get her attention, not just her physical attention, but I was praying that her spiritual ears would be open to listen to you, because once this threat of this enemy or the wicked one comes over you, it is so hard to hear the answer. You